Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, September the 15th, 2023. 17 minutes past the hour, halfway through the month of September, smack dab in the month of September, middle of September. And boy, does it feel like autumn. And autumn comes up here in just 6 days. So it's right around the corner. You know, September 15th, I don't pay much attention to the dates except when I look at them. September 15th would have been my dad's birthday, and today he would have been, I have to think about it, how old would he have been? He would have been, I'm not sure. But this would have been his birthday. September 15th was his birthday, so there you go. Joined in studio this morning by Matt Morgan. Sean Kraft is headed to Columbus today for some tests. Nothing too serious, I don't think. He'll be back with us tonight, Carrington Nelson. And Matt and I will all be here tonight having the big Friday fun. And today, of course, we've got the big slate of programming. Pastor Whitaker joins us at 9:15 a.m., and then Matt and I will be back at 10:15, and then we got Pastor Craig at 11, and then the Exchange Club today from 12:15 until 1, Pastor Craig, Matt, and myself. And we're going to give away, I did bring in the Farmer's Almanacs, they're laying over there, $8 a pop, but the people at the Farmer's Almanac, the old Farmer's Almanac, were very kind to give me some copies of the Farmer's Almanac to give away on air. So we might do that as the morning progresses this morning, so don't leave your listening device. Now, the phone lines are open. We are in the studio this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And Matt, you're up bright and early this morning. You were here before me this morning. I got stuck in the McDonald's line this morning. How's it going on this Friday, end of the week?
Pretty good. It's a little chilly outside, though.
Now, it's interesting because last night we were here at the studio till almost 10 o'clock doing a taping. Carrington, you and I did our Exchange Club last night, and how do you think it went?
I think it went well. It was good.
And, of course, Sean was here producing the episode, taping the episode, so we all got together and had a good time. Now, last night, for the first time, was a three-person group. The first episode we did, Mary Ellen Withrow was just a special guest. She was only going to be there for that 1 week. And then the second week, we had Abby, and that was good. That went very well. Now, yesterday, I don't know what became of her. I'm not really sure. So we hope she'll return because she was a lot of fun. But last night it was just three of us. Three of us in a chair.
We made it work.
It was fun. And we ate caramel apples. We're caramel apple buddies now. That's what it's all about as the autumn season comes in. So last night, what did you feel was the most? We went through quite a few topics last night. Was there a topic that stuck out in your head?
I can't even remember the topics, if I'm being honest now.
How many hours sleep did you get last night?
I went to bed at like 12:30 or 1.
So you slept okay. Mm-hmm. 5 or 6 hours?
I mean, I kept waking up because I was, probably just because of the anticipation for being here. I kept waking up. I'm being like, man, what time is it? And then I'd check and be like, nope, time to go back to sleep, because it would be like 4 in the morning.
So the excitement was high.
Yeah.
You kept thinking, man, I can't wait to get there. I wish that show started at 4 in the morning.
Yep.
And again, by the way, the phone lines are open if you have any questions or things you'd like to talk about. Love the interview we did yesterday with Roger Houston, who's been at the Little Brown Jug for 55 years this year. It's 55th year calling the Little Brown Jug. Been there since 1968. And next week, we will be at the Little Brown Jug on Thursday, so I look forward to that. Matt, you're going to the Little Brown Jug with us next Thursday, first year for you. What do you think? Excited? You don't have any clue what the Little Brown Jug is, so it'll be a whole new thing.
It will. It'll be exciting. Got to learn about some horse racing. Get to meet Roger Houston.
Roger Houston, the voice himself, 55 years.
It'll be good.
You know, that was a topic last night, and we'll get into that topic later on this morning, during our television episode, but has to do with loving your job. But the first thing I wanted to get to, because we haven't had a chance to talk about this, I played some interviews I did earlier in the week with Bill Collins and Glenn Coble that were taped at the city council meeting on Monday night. Now, this was your first city council meeting ever. You were there that night. What were your perspectives on what went on at city council, and what did you think of the interviews, which you were standing there when we did them?
I think the Bill Collins interview was really good. The Glenn Coble one was good, too, but, you know, we didn't have any exciting questions to ask Glenn. There was... Sorry, my head broke for a second. The meeting itself was kind of was interesting. They would, like, read off what the problem was, and then they'd do, like, an open vote, and that would be that, and then, you know, questions. It was just... It was interesting.
Well, I think Glenn's interview basically came down to, I thought it was very interesting that he has not made up his mind on the legalization of abortion yet. I think it was interesting that he freely gave up that he smoked marijuana, which nobody asked him directly, but yet he just offered that information up, and that he would support recreational marijuana. And I thought it was also interesting that he said 99% sure that he's one and done. If he wins, one term, and he's out of there.
I thought it was interesting that he said he would take, like, half of the current pay. Well, like, you know, under what the current pay is.
Well, does that matter? To a voter?
I think it does. I mean, I was talking about the raises to some people, and they were like, man, they're going to raise taxes to pay for that.
I don't know if they would raise taxes. I'm not really sure where the money would come from. Somebody has had to do some budgeting on that. Maybe they have some extra money in the city. I don't know.
I don't know. They were, you know, they were they were praying for the finances.
They did pray for the finances on Monday. Well, what'd you make of that?
I thought that was intriguing. That was pretty funny to me.
Well, the opening prayer, they prayed for everybody's well-being, I think, but then they also prayed for the finances.
Yeah.
Which the city's finances. So, well, if you're going to pray for something, pray for something big.
I guess.
So you think, does it mean anything, Glenn Coble, one and done? That no matter what, whether you like him or you hate him, he's leaving after one term. 99%.
I'm not sure, because, I mean, Jack Kellogg was before, Scott Scherzer, and, both of them had been mayor for, 16 years. This is Scherzer's last year, so, I mean, it seems to me like we like long time, I'd say probably because it's, like, a trust thing. We already know what they're about, so why would we get somebody else when we could just put them back in there?
Well, I think the theory is that, let's say you're a Republican, and maybe you don't like Bill Collins, but you are going to vote for Bill Collins because you prefer him over Glenn Coble. Well, Glenn is saying, listen, I'm not running again in 4 years, so the Republicans will have to put up another candidate in 4 years, and maybe you would like that person better so you don't have to wait 16 years to see another candidate come down the pike, so maybe Glenn will get some crossover vote, maybe get the independents. I think that would be something that would more likely win over independents than Republicans.
I think that, I mean, that's fair, but, like, I don't know that you would want to elect somebody who has, I mean, I don't know. That's hard, because I mean, I never really thought about, like, if somebody had said they're only going to do it for like, one term, how that would go. It's never really crossed my mind.
Well, he pretty well said it.
Yeah.
99%. So, you said the Bill Collins interview was more interesting, much shorter, only about a third of the time. I think Glenn did 15 minutes, Bill did about 5. Why was the Bill Collins interview more interesting?
There were some questions that I just thought were... good for the interview.
Such as?
We asked Bill Collins, or I guess you asked Bill Collins, about Jason Schauber being on the show, and how he said that they think that they changed the raise from January 21st of 2028 to January 21st of 2024, because they wanted to give their friend Bill Collins a raise. I thought that was good.
That's those tough questions we ask here at WGH Talk.
You asked him if he supported the mayoral raise, and there's one more. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
What was your take on his answers, as somebody standing there?
I'm not sure he gave an opinion of his own. He just kind of said, I mean, form your own opinion. And that was that was basically all he said for most questions.
So how did that leave you? You're not a voter, but how would that leave you as a voter?
I feel like you're trying to sidestep it there, trying to avoid answering the question. That never looks good.
I don't really know. I thought it was interesting. He gave answers. Maybe they weren't the answers people wanted. I don't know. We got to ask the questions. That's what you do as the media. You ask the questions. You can't force anybody to answer anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know.
Well, maybe you would like to. I really don't know, to be honest. I was okay. I think people get to hear what the answers are, and they can form their own opinion. I did think it was interesting, though, that when I asked him the question about Jason Schaber being on this program, he knew immediately what I was talking about, because he said he'd heard it.
He even said that he was misinformed.
Yes, he said that Jason Schaber was misinformed. Which I don't know. Is anybody misinformed in that? I really don't know.
See, I don't like how he used misinformed. Because if he was misinformed, it seems like somebody had told him that that is what happened. But they lied. Because misinforming, somebody told you something that wasn't true. So if that means Jason Schaber heard it from somebody else. And Bill Collins is saying that the person he heard it from is not telling the truth.
So, well, right, because Jason just said that was his opinion. I don't think he said that anybody told him that.
It just makes it seem like somebody else had introduced the idea to him.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Did it change your opinion on the whole situation?
Not really, no. I thought it was a really good interview, though. It was intriguing.
So you feel that it still is. Just, we're going to give our buddy something.
I mean, he never really... I mean, I think so. I mean, like, there's no... So, like, the whole purpose of the raise, according to them, was to bring in better candidates. We already had the candidates for this year. What's the point in raising and bringing in the raise now? We already have the candidates. There are no better options other than the ones we already had.
I did ask him about the mayoral veto. I thought that was an interesting answer he gave.
Didn't he basically just say that's up to Scherzer whether or not he uses it?
Yeah, let them figure it out.
Yep.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out what happens down the road. The big information to me to come out of that meeting was that the Coliseum is not going to be used as a polling place, but yet I don't think anybody knows that as of yet. Certainly not people who are voting at the Coliseum, because the paperwork has not been sent out because they have not secured the rec center as a polling place, which they need to rule out the Coliseum. Did you understand that whole mess?
That does sound like a kerfumple, or however you want to put it there. It was rough. For as long as I can remember, and obviously I'm not, like, too old, nor can I remember all that far back, because I never voted, but, like, everything that, like, my parents have voted in, they've gone to, I believe, the Coliseum or the church thing up there, up the road. So
with under 60 days to go in a major city race, in a major election...
And they still haven't told people that the polling place was shut.
And the reason they have not told people is because they have not got a fully... The rec center has not been fully committal on, yes, you can use this place.
Wouldn't it make more... Because, I mean, they're 100% certain that they're not going to use the Coliseum. So I don't know why they don't just send out a thing saying they're not going to use the Coliseum and that they're working on getting the rec center or something like that.
Well, then they'd have to do two mailers.
Yeah, but that way they'd also not have... I think this way you'd save more people from going to the Coliseum to vote when there's no vote at the Coliseum.
But don't you think if you sent, with under 60 days to go, paperwork out saying you're not going to vote where you always voted and we don't know where you're going to vote, you're going to get people calling you constantly and you have no answer for them?
I mean, I feel like that's kind of your job, though.
But how does that help? Just to panic people, but you have no answer to tell them where they are going to vote.
I mean,
I don't know that that's helpful.
I don't know that it's right to let people vote at a spot that doesn't have voting.
No, no, you're going to have to get the paperwork out. It's just you've got to get that rec center secured, or you've got to find another place.
The longer they wait to send out the papers, the less people who are going to recognize that the Coliseum is not open for voting.
Right, but if you got a piece of paper in the mail saying, listen, you're not voting at the Coliseum, and that's it, well, what are you going to do?
I mean, they could always just basically formulate a list of the places of the voting spots, and then just say that the Coliseum is closed, but you could vote at any of these other spots, give, like, names and addresses of the places.
Right, but the people who would end up voting at the rec center, I don't think they can tell them that with 100% certainty at this point, which is why they're not sending those papers out.
I mean, I just think it makes more sense still than to just wait.
I don't know. I think it's a big kerfluffle to begin with, and I'm not sure how it got to this point. You would think this would have been sorted out back in January. I don't understand why we're here in mid-September and still don't know the answer to this.
Have they known since January that they weren't using the Coliseum this year?
Well, if you're going to knock out the biggest polling place in Marion City, I think you should probably look at that right after the last election, which would have been any time after last November.
Well, yeah, but what you should and what happened to or might be different things. So, like, do you know when they decided to not go to the Coliseum?
No, and I don't. It's very, very strange.
Did they say why, by the way? Well, right, because so many entrances hard to secure.
Entrances hard to secure, and also there was some kind of a money factor there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have no new information on it. It's just the way it is right now. So we'll see what happens as time goes on. Now, we will have a couple top 10 lists today as the morning goes on. We'll save those for later on. Thanks to Bob Welsh. We'll have one tonight and one this morning at one point. But overall, what was just your take on City Council?
I thought the City Council meeting was interesting because of the whole, I guess, the process it goes through. Also, is that like a courtroom?
Yeah. But I don't think it's used as a courtroom anymore. I could be wrong about that, but I think it's mainly used for city council meetings and committee meetings.
Okay. I mean, I thought the meeting itself was pretty cool. It informs you on what's going on in the city.
You know, one topic we discussed last night, which I found fascinating, and we've been talking about it here on the program, the morning show, over the last few days, are people genuine when they do good deeds? And, you know, last night we came to the consensus with you and Carrington that no, people are not. I believe Carrington said that 90% of the time, people are not sincere when they do good deeds.
I mean, I think that's true. I think the majority of time when somebody does a good deed, they do it more so for the thanks than the fact that it's a good deed. It was just the right thing to do.
You know, and I think I've been misinterpreted, because I've said here on this show, and I said on the television show last night, that for a long time, and I should preface this with, when I worked at WMRN years ago, there was somebody who used to bring me breakfast there, because I went in very early in the morning. And there have also been other people who have brought me breakfast every morning. Now, here, I think when I say that, people think that I think it was phony because it stopped. It's not phony because it stopped, because all things eventually stop, I believe. The reason I believe it's phony, there are two reasons. Number one, when it stopped, there was a complete change in the person's whole personality. It wasn't just that the meal stopped. The whole personality changed. And number two, why were you doing that in the first place? It's the motivation of doing it. Because clearly it was not something that you were doing just to be nice. Now, I thought it was, but clearly there was a little more motivation there. I think again, it's a character flaw in that person that they wanted to be loved. They wanted to be liked, so they felt they had to do deeds that would get them there. Because it's just abnormal to do that. Unless you really are doing it just for kindness. But if you're really doing it for kindness, I don't think a mood change would stop it.
I mean, why not? I mean, I think it's... So you think that, like, if you gave money to a charity, that'd be considered a good deed. But if you don't consistently give money to charity, that's not...
No. That's a different thing there. If you give money to a charity one time only, and you're just doing it to give money to that charity, that's fine. But if that is your charity, and that is your go-to, and let's say it's United Way, and you continuously give to that charity over the years, and then one day you just, boop, stop. There has to be a reason that you stopped. And were you genuinely giving to that charity to help them? Or were you doing it because you felt that was just the thing to do? And charities are different. You're not trying to win over the charity. I'm talking about personal acts of kindness.
I mean, it's possible that they were just not trying to win you over. I mean, I'd get tired of bringing somebody breakfast after
right,
2 years,
but
too.
Why does that start, is the question. One breakfast would not have been a question. I would say, oh, okay, well, you brought breakfast this morning. That's very nice. I appreciate that. When it goes on consistently for a long time, even at points when you're saying, you don't have to do this, that's when it becomes phony to me, in the end.
I mean, like, I see your point, but, like, you don't think that there's any possibility
that they just woke up one day and said, you know, after all this time, I really don't want to bring them breakfast anymore.
Yeah.
No, I think at that point you say, well, I just don't care what they think anymore, and, or I don't care about them. And if that's true, then herein lies the point. You were only doing it to get on my good side, which I don't want somebody to do something to get on my good side.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, you don't want somebody to, like, be lying to you.
And that's essentially what that becomes. Because now, for a long time, I looked at that as, hey, boy, this is just a kind person doing a kind act. Now I look back on it and I think, well, that was a little covert, you know? At that time, you wanted to be on my good side, so you thought that was a way to do it. And now that you don't care about being on my good side, you don't need to do that.
I mean, what if this person just has a gripe with you now?
Well, right, that's what I'm saying.
Well, but like...
Maybe they do.
When they stopped giving you breakfast, what if they just had a gripe with you?
Right, could be.
I mean, that's not necessarily them being not good people, it's just...
Well, I don't think I ever said anybody's not good people. I just said, is giving sincere or not? I don't think an insincere person is a bad person. I just think they're insincere. They're doing it more for themselves than they're doing it for other people.
Insincere is a bad thing.
You think so? I think most people are insincere in some instance in their life.
I mean, it's just... It's a lie.
Yeah, but how do you look today? Well, most of the time you're not going to tell somebody bad. That's insincere.
If somebody asked me how... No. If somebody came up to me and asked me how they looked and they looked bad, why would I not tell them, you look bad? Go change. They asked for my opinion. If I gave them an opinion...
They don't really want your opinion, though.
If I gave them an opinion they didn't like, why'd they ask me for my opinion to begin with? Pick a different person to get an opinion from, then.
Right, but they're not asking you. You might just be the only one there.
Then don't ask me.
Right, but isn't how somebody looks subjective?
I mean, I suppose, but if you're going to ask somebody for their opinion, you're asking them about what they think. And if I think you look ugly, I'm going to be like, bro, you look ugly.
Yeah, but in your opinion, in your stance, what does that get you? What is the point of that?
I'm honest.
Yeah, but so that makes you sincerely rude, is what we would say.
I think it makes me a better person than to just straight up look this person in the eye that I think looks hideous in the outfit that they're wearing and say, yes, your outfit looks fantastic.
Okay, do you think it's a normal act to show up for multiple weeks the same day with breakfast every morning for one person?
Probably not.
Okay, so in your world, that is an insincere act because it's not normal.
I would think so.
Okay, so then why are you disagreeing with me on this point? That's all I'm saying, is that it was insincere.
I mean, I just think that it's possible that it wasn't. The odds that it is are probably higher than not, but it's possible that they just got tired of it.
Got tired of it because it's not something they really wanted to do in the first place.
I guess.
To me, it's just better don't bring it. I think these highlight character flaws in people. And that's what I'm saying. Don't smear that to me again is kind of like a love bomb, which we've talked about so much. That's what that is. You're not really showing what you really want to do. You're not really showing your inner self. You're putting on a veneer so that person will like you, but that's not really you.
I think a lot of people do that, yeah.
Well, this is the problem we're trying to solve in society.
See, I don't know that it'll be solved.
No, I don't think it'll be solved, but it's amazing to me how people continue to repeat these patterns over and over and over and over.
I think people don't really care.
No, I think they care.
I'm not really. Because when we talked about it with Carrington and Abby that, like on the exchange club that night, they both agreed that even if they were doing it to win you over, that's okay.
Yeah, but they're not the smartest two people in the world. I mean, we can't say that they are brilliant.
I mean,
I disagree with them on that.
I mean, I disagree too.
I don't think that is okay.
It seems they think so.
Yeah, but why do they think so?
Because they get the things.
Yeah, but then they'll turn around and say they don't love bomb people, which I think they said that night. They said, well, no, we don't do that. But yet, clearly they do.
I don't know. I mean, I've never received a gift from
either of them. Now, do you remember the moment on the show when Abby said, I bring you things at Christmas, I bring you things on Easter, I bring you things on your birthday, I bring you things here, and she complained about it. Now, to me, now I think that's all insincere, because you don't want to do that. You just think if you don't do it, that I'm going to complain.
I think you brought it up. Because you said you...
Right, no, she brought it up, because what happened... Carrington said, I don't have to win you over. And I said, oh, so you only win people over by bringing you gifts. And Abby said, well, that's not true, because I don't have to win you over, but I still bring you stuff. And I said, well, why do you do it? And she said, because I know you'll complain if I don't. So her goal is not to win me over, but yet, in a sense, it is, because she's trying to keep me from complaining.
See, I think the examples she gave were, like things like that happened at school, I think.
Some did, some didn't.
I mean, I don't know why you would complain.
I don't think I ever had. That's what I'm saying. I don't know where she gets that I would complain if she did not bring me something, because I don't recall that ever happening.
I guess it's just intuition.
Right, but back to the point, why do that? If you don't want to get the gift, don't get the gift.
They feel obligated.
Because?
I don't know. I don't buy people gifts. Other than, like, my family.
So, if you had to look at it in that particular situation, why do you think she buys those gifts? Do you think it's because she thinks that I'm going to complain, even though I've never complained ever when she didn't?
I don't know.
See, it's a deep topic, isn't it?
There's no... I don't see a reason. I mean, if she didn't want to buy the gift, just...
See, but now, now I look at that, and before when I thought, oh, she's just a nice person, now I look at it and I think, well, now wait a second. If you're only buying it because you think I'm going to complain, then that's a little insincere.
You ever think that maybe she just lied? She can't just tell you that she got it for you because you guys are friends.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
I think that's fair.
I think it's
740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, a lot of times people can be sincere at the time, but, you know, their feelings change over time, you know.
You know, somebody called in earlier and said that in the week, and I think Matt said that some degree earlier. Feelings change. Okay. This herein lies the problem. I'm not having a problem with people's feelings change. People's feelings can change on issues. They can change on people. That's fine. My point is when you do something so consistently, if the feeling change changed your good deeds, then they probably were only good deeds because they wanted you to like them, which is totally insincere.
It's hard to tell them, you know, but, you know, don't you have a friend sometimes that, you know, when you go over to his house or if you're meeting him somewhere and you stop and get you a bottle pop, but you buy him a soda?
Yes, I've done that.
Okay. Well, if that person kind of ticks you off sometime and you do have to go over there and see him for something, you know, maybe it's business or something like that. If you stop and get you the soda, you dang sure ain't going to get him a soda, are you?
Yeah, but I think that's a little bit of a different situation because that's not consistent, and that's also not, getting him a soda is probably not going to make him be my friend any more than he already is.
He's already your friend. That's the reason why he's doing it.
Right. So... Yeah. I don't think there's any insincerity there. What I'm talking about is when you do something on a consistent basis like that, even when people are telling you you don't need to do this, and then one day you stop, I think it diminishes the act. Because then I look back on it and I go, well, okay, maybe your feelings did change, so really the only reason you were doing that is because you wanted to win me over? You thought that that would make me like you more? That's why you were doing that? Well, that's not why you should do a good deed. I certainly never got anybody a pop because I wanted them to like me.
But a good deed should be returned, too, you know. That gets me a lot of times when you always do for a person and they can't do nothing for you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but you know, some people just feel that way sometimes. And it's really not the case. They're just doing things for you in a different way.
It's like that person put up that money for that dog collar, you know. They're doing it because of the right reason, because they want the dog collar back.
And they've done it anonymously.
Yeah, and they've done, you know, they're not trying to get their... A lot of people, when they give money or something like that, you know, they really want everybody to know. You know, it's not necessarily they're doing a good... They're doing it for the right reason. They just want to be, look like they're good, you know. You see what I'm saying?
Right, and then this person clearly is not doing that because they've wanted to do this anonymously.
Right.
Right, and I think that's the difference. I think one breakfast, you know, here and there would have been fine. I wouldn't have thought anything of that. I would have just thought, okay, well, that's nice that you did that this morning. But when you do that so consistently for so long, and then the stopping of it is consistent with a change in your whole personality, then I have to say, well, you were probably doing that just because you wanted me to like you. And I don't want a false... I don't want you to do things that you really don't want to do just to get me to like you. I want to like you because I like you.
Well, there could be ulterior motives, but sometimes, you know, has the person done that for anybody else?
Oh, I'm sure they have. See, you know, herein lies the problem, is that is a technique which goes back to everything we've talked about on this show, that you are love bombing. You are trying to win somebody over.
Well, that's the nature of the beast, but...
Yeah, but that's insincere.
What Abby was talking about, you do have a tendency to do that sometimes, though.
Now, what do I have a tendency to do?
Now, how many times have you pointed out that Michelle could have brought you something to eat?
Well, that's Michelle. I've never done that with...
She brought you something out to the fair, you know.
Right, but I don't complain when they don't.
Well, don't like to complain.
Well, no, but I've never said to Abby, get me something on Easter, get me something on my birthday, get me something at Christmas. I've never done that. So the fact
I want you to say, well, Abby's my friend, but she can't. It was Easter, and she come in here for a show, but she couldn't bring me something.
Yeah, but
I don't think do that.
But I don't think you have much ground to say that if it hasn't happened yet. Now, if it happens and I do complain, well, then you can say that I am that way. But I have not been that way with her.
No, more Michelle than her.
Well, yes, because I, in the Michelle thing, she runs a restaurant.
She teases Michelle. You know, I see where you're going with that, you know. It's just like if you're friends with somebody, you get by or do stuff, you know, different than you would for a normal person. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. And I think Michelle knows that I'm kidding.
You know, you can talk to your friends, you know, different than you talk to other people.
Right. And she knows that I'm kidding.
You might even downgrade a friend, call him, you know, something or whatever that you would never do that to somebody else. It's just, you know, that's what you gotta do to each other, you know?
Right, and like I say, I don't think Michelle takes that personally. We're still friends. It's just I do insincerity with me is a big thing because I want to know the real person. I want to know how you really are. I don't want to know what you're doing to try to be impressive, to get people to like you. Because I think it's not really about me liking you, it's about people liking you in general. And that is a big problem if you're a people pleaser.
Oh, yeah.
Which, because this, herein lies the problem of maybe why nothing works long term in your life. Why everything ends in a disaster. You know, say, oh, well, maybe your feelings changed. Well, how many times does that street light happen in your life? How many times has that happened? Just one time? Two times? Five times? Six times?
Person like that, especially, you know, if it's at work, they're called a brown noser.
Right, and I think it just becomes a very vicious cycle. I want you to like me, I want you to like me, I want you to like me, so I'm going to do things I don't normally do, and then I'm doing so many things I normally wouldn't do that I get tired of doing them after a while, so then I have to brush you off. Well, okay.
I wanted to say something to Matt, too. You know, he says something about telling a person the truth all the time, you know. Let's say your wife asks you how this new dress looks on her. You know, you think that new dress just, you know, you don't like it. But you better watch telling her you don't like it.
I genuinely think that if she did not want me to tell her that I did not like the dress, she would not ask for my opinion.
You are wrong.
Look, oh, boy.
If they're going to ask me for my opinion, I'm going to give my honest opinion.
She ain't going to be your wife for very long.
That's fine.
You better give the opinion that she wants to hear, not what you think.
See, now, the best way to survive a marriage is what I'm hearing is the best way to survive a marriage is to be disingenuous.
Pretty much.
Well, you'll live and learn.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, by the way, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Sincerity versus insincerity on this Friday morning. Do people really do good deeds to do them, or do people do good deeds just to get the praise for doing them? It's an interesting question.
I think the majority of the people do them for the praise.
Now, last year, Carrington said, thank you, Pastor. Carrington said, that is a good-looking muffin. Carrington said last night that she felt, didn't she say 90% of people are insincere when they do things?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if the number's that high, but I think, I would say it's more than 50%. I think people do want you to say thank you. I think people do want you to like them. I think people want you to think, them to think that you're a good person. I think that that's part of it. Not with everybody.
I mean, do you think it's also possible to do the things for the right reason and then just get upset that nobody recognizes it?
No, see, because that's an insincere thing. That's the whole point. If you're upset that nobody's recognizing it, then you want it to be recognized, so you probably weren't doing it for the right reasons
to
begin with.
It's more like how you said, like, they want to thank you or something like that. Thank you, like, what recognition does a thank you really give me? I say thank you 100 times a day at work.
I don't think it's a thank you. I think what it is with the people who are insincere, I think it's that thought that, oh, aren't they great? Oh, I like them. They're doing something to me that is very, doing something for me that's very nice, so herein lies their greatness.
Like, I don't know. I just, I think that a lot of people do things for, I guess, probably selfish reasons and things like that.
Just be yourself, I guess, is the point. Be yourself. If you want to rake somebody's yard, if you want to bring somebody breakfast, if you want to give somebody a ride somewhere, do it. And don't expect anything back. But don't do it consistently if you really don't want to do it. Because then you will come off insincere.
I mean, why?
Because when it stops, you're going to say, well, why did that happen?
What if I just gave somebody a ride somewhere? Like,
right, one time only things are fine.
No. Just if I had given my friend rides a lot, and then he asked me for a ride one day, and I was like, no. Like, I'm not his Uber. He can't expect me to take him there. He probably figured I would because I have before.
Right, but see, there you go. Good deeds can also turn into weights around the neck, because some people will take advantage of them. Like, the one time he said, listen, I need a ride here, I can't get a ride. Okay, I'll do that to be nice today. And that's what people think in there, bro. Okay, I'll do that to be nice. Well, the fifth or sixth time, and they still don't have a ride to wherever they're going, and now they're just using you, then you think, well, I'm not going to give them a ride anymore.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, just like, it's not that I wouldn't give that person a ride anymore, I would just do less of it.
Well, you know, well, we're going to take the call very quickly because we've got to go to break here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I get where Matt's coming from. You know, let's say you give somebody a ride to work, you know, when their car breaks down or when they're having troubles. You know, they can call you out blue and say, hey, can you stop by and get me? And you do that, I don't know how many times. But then your car breaks down one time and you call him and say, can you give me a ride? Nah, I don't think so, man.
Reciprocation, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, hey, we got to go to break. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
We'll be back in 15 minutes with Pastor Whitaker. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You bring your enemies close.
That was... Mm-hmm. Had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
You weren't there for that one. You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.
Hillary and Obama. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road.